some of the specific things that you'll be looking for as you watch practice today from Dan Quinn and the Falcons?
I think one of the interesting things when a new coach comes in, especially a coach, you know, particularly on one side of the ball, I want to see Dan Quinn's defensive personality. I really thought that one of the things that there was a disconnect between the coaching staff and a lot of the players in terms of how aggressive an NFL defense should be and has to be. And I think that Dan Quinn has come in and basically said to these guys, we're going to be the most attacking team in football. At least that's what he and Pete Carroll built in Seattle. And I think that I'm going to be looking for that. I mean, it's hard to tell when you're not in mid-season full padded mode all the time. But I'll be looking for a lot of the aggressiveness on defense. And then, you know, it's funny that the way the Seahawks practiced was at a very high tempo, very loud, very music-y. You know, Pete Carroll was the first guy, to my knowledge anyway, who always had music from the start of the practice to the end. Most of the songs, I had no clue what they were. But the players seemed to love it, and it seemed to make them practice a lot harder and be involved and be intense instead of... And I've always thought, you know, if you put that crowd noise up, you know, in the loudspeakers around practice, it accomplishes the goal of being so noisy that it's hard to think like it is during a game. But I also think, I think players are going to like it a lot more if you're playing music that they like, you know.
What about coach getting into practice?
You know, he always was a very, very active guy in terms of, you know, being in the middle of plays and being sort of an inspirational figure to a lot of guys on the field during games. Just, I'm interested in seeing sort of his action, you know. But I also think one of the things that people underestimate a lot about Dan Quinn is he's very, very big on the mental side of football. And a lot of the stuff you're not going to see in 2.5 or 3 hours out here. A lot of the stuff is happening inside this building that none of us are really going to see, because he really works on the players' heads as well as their bodies a lot.
There's been a lot of talk across the media that the Falcons walked away with one of the best draft classes of 2015 with guys like Vic Beasley, Jalen Collins, and Grady Jarrett. What are you expecting to see from them out at camp today as they adapt to Dan Quinn's defensive system?
I cannot believe that Grady Jarrett was picked so far down the line. That was... I mean, there are some fluky things in every draft that always happen. I don't think anybody can give you a good reason why a guy who was, you know, really, to me, a mid-second or third-round pick was taken so low. I mean, people will say, well, you know, he's not going to be a three-down player. He's not, maybe he's not, has enough speed to play in a lot of defenses. But I just think that's baloney. I think he's going to be a big factor eventually for this defense. You know, as far as the top of the draft goes, if I'm Vic Beasley and I get taken by Dan Quinn and a team that has been desperate for a pass rush, I mean, you've died and gone to heaven. Plus, you know, he stays in the South. He's around, he's in familiar surroundings, and he's with a bunch of fans who already love him. I mean, it's the perfect spot for him. So I think this is going to be a really good comeback draft class for Thomas Dimitroff and the Falcons.
In your offseason power rankings released in June, you had the Falcons third in the NFC South behind Carolina and New Orleans. What, in your opinion, needs to happen for the Falcons to get back to dominating this division and getting back on top of that list?
Defensive attitude more than anything else. you know, people like Justin Durant to come back from being hurt last year at the end of the year in Dallas. And, you know, new acquisitions injecting new life to this team. That's what needs to happen more than anything else. It can happen. I don't know who to like in this division. I really don't. I could see any of three teams winning the division. I could see the Falcons being 6-10. I could see them being 12-4. I mean, it's just, this is a very strange division because so many teams are sort of teetering on the edge. You know, the Saints, it seems to me, might have one more year left. You know, whereas Carolina, look, they're the first team in the history of this division to have won back-to-back division titles, which is one of the weirdest stats you can imagine. But then again, they win it with a lousy record last year, so you don't know whether that is really meaningful or not. So I just think it's totally up for grabs. I don't love any team in this division, and I think any one of the three could win it.
Kyle Shanahan is implementing a zone blocking scheme here in Atlanta. Do you think this bodes well with the current players on the roster, and how do you think this will shake out down here?
Well, to be a zone blocking scheme on an offensive line, you have to have really smart players on the offensive line, and I do think they've got a very intelligent group on that line, so I think that's going to work. I think what's really, really important when you do zone blocking is that everybody gets on the same page. In the course of time, a lot of times when you're looking at the way zone blocking works, you sometimes look at that and say, well, you know, just be aggressive, go knock a guy off the ball and everything. But it's a different way of learning how to play the line. And it is going to take some time. There's no question. Training camp, probably the most important group on this team, position group, is the offensive line to learn that. But, look, they've got time. I think Kyle Shanahan gets the teaching gene from his father. And I think he's a very, very good teacher. I think they ought to be able to learn it. And I think it's good for this group.
How important is that zone blocking in order to give Matt Ryan some more time in the pocket?
I think it's important for Matt. No question about it, because he does need more time than he had last year. But I also think that, you know, a quarterback's best friend is the running game. And I think it's most important that they create the kind of holes that didn't exist last year. And they have the ability to run. They have the talent to be able to run. But it's zone blocking is one of these classic things. If you've got four guys who play a particular play perfectly and one who doesn't, you could get killed on the play, the running back or the quarterback. So I think that's why this is an important next month for this team.
And lastly, what are you most excited to see from the 2015 Falcons?
The music selection. No, I mean, I love coming to a place where there's a new coach, because you want to see the new vibe, and you want to see, you know, he brings in O'Brien Schofield from Seattle. O'Brien Schofield is a really sort of a Swiss Army knife type of player. He plays about 9 positions. He plays all over the map. And I just like seeing the changes that a new coach brings in. It's fun to watch, particularly, I think, this year, because, look, you don't want to waste the prime of Matt Ryan's career. And you don't want to waste another possible great year in tandem from Roddy White and Julio Jones. I mean, receivers don't last forever. And they invested a lot to make Roddy White and Julio Jones their tandem for 5, 6, 7 years. You know, they've sort of wasted 2 of those years. So now I think this is really an important year, just from the standpoint that you think that there's enough talent here and this team is a 13-3 type, 11-5, 12-4 type team. But the last 2 years haven't shown that. So at some point, it's the old, you are what your record says you are. And I think this is about proving, this whole summer is about proving that they are what they were in 2012 and not what they have been the last couple of years.